Welcome to the Mentor Files. I'm your host, Monica Royer, founder and CEO of Monica and Andy. Join me as I chat with some of the world's leading entrepreneurs, inspiring CEOs, and experts at the top of their field to bring you the audible MBA, unfiltered advice, and mentorship every mover and maker needs to find their voice and success. Here we go. Before moving to St. Louis to attend WashU, Amanda Zuckerman and her mom went shopping to put together the perfect dorm room. They went to more than five different stores to find stylish twin bedding and were only offered pretty juvenile designs and bed-in-a-bag solutions. The Zuckermans realized there wasn't one place to easily find everything needed to make her dorm room feel special, personal, and homey. Their frustration turned into an idea which would eventually become Dormify. Today, the multi-million dollar company headquartered in Manhattan simplifies the decor shopping experience for college students and postgrads by creating exclusive products specifically designed for small space living and without sacrificing style. In today's episode, Amanda and I talk about the honest struggles of running a startup, what it's really like, the necessary evolution of how early ideas can take different shape and change over time, and finally, what I found most interesting, which is what it's really like to go into business with your family, should you do it? Find out in this next episode. I am incredibly excited to welcome Amanda Zuckerman, the co-founder of Dormify. Amanda, welcome.
Thanks. It's great to talk to you today.
Yeah. So I'm, of course, a few years out of college, Amanda, as I'm sure you're aware. But, you know, learned about Dormify through one of my investors who thought that, you know, the concept, much like us, is very event driven. But for people that aren't familiar, can you tell us a bit about Dormify?
Sure. So Dormify.com is really a one-stop shop for decorating any small space, whether it's a dorm room, an apartment, a bedroom, a guest room, you name it. We are actually designing and manufacturing our own line of products that are specifically designed for small spaces. So we specialize in bedding, decor items, and storage pieces that are perfect for those small spaces.
Amazing. And tell us, how did you come up with the concept for Dormify to begin with? Like, what was sort of your inspiration for it?
The inspiration really came from my own very frustrating shopping experience when I was getting ready to go to my freshman year at WashU in St. Louis. And I was going off to live on my own for the first time. Obviously, there's a lot of emotions in that very pivotal life moment. And like you said, this event-based business. So I was shopping with my mom. We really struggled to find twin XL size bedding that's required for college dorm rooms. And we just had this aha moment standing in Bed Bath & Beyond where we realized that no one was really catering to this college audience and designing not only bedding, but decor items that were specifically for this 18-year-old. So my mom actually has a background in advertising. She started her own agency over 30 years ago before I was born. So I grew up in an entrepreneurial family and we essentially took her background and experience in building brands, because she's actually still running that agency today, and incubated this idea for a one-stop shopping experience called Dormify within her agency while I was in college still. So together we first worked on creating a brand and a community around college life and dorm decor. And while we were building that, we had a blog up. We then tried to go figure out how to manufacture products. But this was all going on while I was still in college. And now, you know, 7 years after I've graduated college, we're a multi-category retailer that's creating our own products and content and really fostering this community amongst Gen Z to create a really innovative and stylish shopping experience for students around the country.
So Amanda, I'm super supportive of entrepreneurs at every stage of the game. I think you can successfully launch a company like anywhere from, you know, 20 to 90. I haven't talked to too many people in their hundreds yet that have launched companies. So I feel like maybe there is an an end game to the ability to really be entrepreneurial. And, you know, my brother launched Bonobos just as he was turning 27. So tell me what you think some of like the benefits to launching a company in your 20s are, and what you feel like maybe some of the drawbacks, like some of the challenges of being at that stage to doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So some of the benefits and value of starting a business at my age, one, I think is, well, there's a bunch, but energy and networking is a huge part of my success. I would say I make it a point to just surround myself with team members, advisors, people in the industry and e-commerce that I can call on to help me with anything at any time. So I've really been focused on building my network here in New York. And I think a big part of starting a business at this age that I think has benefited us is naivety. And like we went out and figured out how to manufacture many, many different categories of products overseas. And I think ignorance was bliss in that moment because like we just kind of went for it and what we didn't know didn't hurt us. So we kind of like, we just did it. We keep building year after year. We keep growing our product assortment. We keep on going. And we didn't really look at the risks in the same way, not in a bad way, but someone with more experience might be a little bit more risk averse than someone young, but it's been great. And some of the, drawbacks of starting a business at this age is really just lacking experience. But I think on the flip side, learning as you go is the best way to learn. So not being pigeonholed into only knowing what you know from other jobs or experience, but we've really learned on the job and a lot of our team members have. And I think that they've been able to grow and excel in a way that other 25-year-olds will never get the opportunity to in working for somebody else.
Yeah. And one of the things I like about your and your mom's relationship, and let's talk a little bit more about that too, just because of course, like I had the opportunity to work with my brother. So I'm a big proponent of if you have these strong familial relationships that it can be really great to work with your family.
Yeah.
But one of the things I feel like is I went out and my, you know, founding partner in this is a guy by the name of Brian Bloom, who had like a completely different skill set than me. He had a financial background, basically like all of the things that I didn't know how to do, I felt like he knew how to do. And so I think one of the things about your mom and you that are so complimentary is that you picked somebody else to launch the business with that was at a different stage. So where, as you said, like maybe it's like there's not as much length of work experience that you have. You partnered with somebody that brought all of that to the table and vice versa in terms of maybe what you know, your mom doesn't have, you do. Do you think that has been an important ingredient in success? Because I do think if you look at the success of companies and like the health of that founding relationship and the diversity of those founding partners, just being different from like, you know, even a skill set perspective, I do think that is a critical component to success.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you kind of hit the nail on the head. So I think partnership between me and my mom was helpful in two major ways. One, in her experience, just like you mentioned, and especially like with fundraising in the very beginning, even in our friends and family round when we were pitching the business in its infancy, she has already built a business. So she has that track record and validation herself to help Dormify position itself in a great way. And then I have the experience of being the customer and marrying my knowledge of this customer and this generation and everything that we've built Dormify as a brand upon, coupled with just straight up business experience. So that's been a huge part of our success and really just validation, I think. And then the second part of just this mother-daughter relationship and how it's helped Dormify is we had the perspective of both the student and the parent in launching Dormify. And because we are speaking to both parents and students in everything that we do, from our marketing campaigns to just actual speaking to customers, they're both of these people in a household are our customers. And I think it was really important to have the perspective from both of these family members when designing product, positioning the brand, developing messaging, and all of that. So having that partnership really guide our messaging forward has been extremely important.
And what, tell me what it's like specifically, like tell me a little bit about your mom. Obviously I've talked to her on the phone before and she just seems like such a dynamic and incredible human being. It's yeah. clear that she is an amazing mom to have, you know, a daughter like yourself. But what is that like, what is that partnership like on the inside? I feel like, and just to answer a little bit of that myself for my brother and I feel like we're very brutally honest with each other. And he's one of the few people that can sometimes influence me to sway things that, you know, other people may not be able to convince me to do, but I feel like he really benefits as being like a final gut check on stuff. Like other people might mm-hmm. be more afraid when you're the CEO to say like, hey, I feel really strongly about changing course on this. And I think one of the benefits from working with him is he is absolutely unafraid to unabashedly disagree about stuff, which is really key in a management team member.
Yeah. So she is a fantastic role model and I'm so lucky to have her not only as a partner in this business, but also just as a strong female leader and role model in my everyday personal life. But she is not one to take no for an answer. And she is like, I've just been able to see the success that she has in her own business and with Dormify by really navigating her network, making sure that she's building relationships that are important and meaningful. I just see how important relationship building has been with finding our investors and, you know, making deals. So it's been really great to be learning alongside her. But I would say if you dig deeper into our relationship, one, you will never find a partner that you can trust more than a family member. So at the end of the day, like we trust each other to our core. And I think that's really important in your partner, finding your partner. The other thing is that we have a very blurred line between business and work life and personal life. So it's sometimes hard to navigate when we're on vacation and I just like want to take a break. There's not really such thing as a break because we're always talking about something regardless of the time. But that can benefit us in some ways if we are brainstorming and come up with some really great idea. But I don't know. I think you just have to sometimes put some boundaries to different parts of your relationship because I personally will easily get frustrated if I don't get like a little bit of personal time. And sometimes I have to remind her that she is my mom and she has to sometimes act like just my mom and not like a business partner.
Sure.
So it's definitely tricky to navigate sometimes, but it's obviously all good things. And I've learned so, so much from her, but it's been really fun to have her watch me grow as an individual and a professional and fun to do this together for sure.
I love that. And I feel like my brother and I are, of course, like super close with our parents and, you know, very close with my mom. And she has been such a guiding force for us both from a business perspective too. But yeah. It's different. Your relationship with like your sibling is a much more equal feeling relationship, of course, than your relationship with your mom. And so of course, even in the best of relationships with moms, that's always like a different dynamic for a woman like that really close bond with their mom. But I love it. I think about like my daughter, as I think about you saying that your mom was really entrepreneurial. And I often wonder like, wow, she's nine. Like, what does it look like in another decade for her? Like, does she get the bug to do something like this because we've done it? Or is she like, whoa, no way. Like, I don't want to do that because it seems like it's so time consuming. So it's interesting to think that you saw your mom as an entrepreneur and you guys got a chance to work on this together. And I'm sure for you, that's amazing. But you know, for your mom, that's just got to be absolutely magical to have inspired her daughter to not only follow in her footsteps, but to have enough respect for her to actually be working directly with her, Amanda. So that seems to speak really incredibly to the relationship that you have with her.
Yeah. And even like just what you said about your daughter, I think there's also from growing up in a family of entrepreneurs like yourself, I imagine that your daughter, if she did feel an urge to go off and start a business herself, she would feel less, it's less scary knowing that someone you look up to or know so well has done it. It's, I think, a little bit more of a risk or just scarier to get family members on board if they've never done it. So I think that that benefited us in jumping into this venture because it wasn't so scary or new.
You know what? I think that's so true. I've thought that so much recently about my brother, because as I've gone through so many different things over the course of the last couple of years, and as I've turned to him, like, again, he hasn't really been a part of the day-to-day of what's happened here, but he's influenced so much of like the year-to-year and is really has been my sounding board. And as I'm up against, like, you know, at times, as you know, like very difficult choices and being a CEO and being the leader of like a startup, like there's a lot of hard things that come up along the way. There's no question, regardless of success. And and those things don't get easier as the years go on. And I am more in awe of him today than I was before I knew what he was dealing with. Cause I'm like, wow, he didn't really, I mean, he had us as personal advisors, but he's like this bridge for me where it's like, he's both personal advisor and he's been in so many of the situations that I find myself in. And I'm like, how did he do, how is he brave enough to navigate some of this? Like, I don't know that I would be brave enough to do some of it without him, like, as like that final sounding board, like when I really get stressed or, you know, as to see it, you don't have anybody to turn to at the company that you're going to be like, wow, I'm really concerned about whatever this is. Like, your job isn't to concern your team with your concerns. And so there's so much comfort in and the empathy that he's been there. And the same with my husband, like he did the same thing at Interior Define. And it's like, we really understand each other and that's very special.
Totally. And I think that that level of comfort is probably the most important thing to me too. And whenever I have a really stressful situation or have a hard decision to make, or I just like break down because something is hard, she definitely reassures me that one, I've been there before, this is what's going to happen and it's going to be okay. Or like, this is how you need to tackle this. And having that support at all times is just invaluable.
Absolutely. And I guess I should give a disclaimer to people listening, Amanda. You may not want to try this at home if you're listening to this, because I feel like we certainly...
It's also very rewarding.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it can be really beneficial, but working with your family, although it could be good, I don't think either of us are proposing this could be for anyone. Or it could be for everyone. Like, there's
like, would you work with your husband? How do you feel about that?
That I'm not sure about, because I feel like one of the things that's been good is that we've had stresses, but they've been stresses at different times and usually like bookend stresses. So like, there's always like something amping up. So I feel like my husband, because I don't work with him, is become like one of my number one advisors. And so if I worked with him, I would sort of be giving that up, because I feel like then we would be headed in the same direction. And I feel like living under the same roof and being in the same room at night and having a business together is probably, it's probably asking a lot. That probably ends like one of two ways. And there's like a 50% chance it ends well. So I feel like we are very complementary of each other too. So in that way, it could be good in the future, but I think as an initial startup, that would have been like very, very difficult, because then it's like, who's calling the shots? Who's making the decisions? We're very much equals in our relationship. And so it would be different to be unequals in one capacity or the other. And I think that would be hard. That said, he has become like one of my absolute, like, he's the person in the middle of the day that if it's like, hey, should I do this or should I do that? Like, I have so much confidence in his decision-making ability. And he's like, in my opinion, he's such a strong marketer. Like, his view, his eye of design and like the aesthetic in which he put together Interior Define, like, I really value his expertise in a way that I think would get lost if we worked together.
Yeah, I totally agree. I couldn't do it either. And I don't know how my parents did it, but...
Oh, your parents work together?
Yeah, well, my mom started this agency when she was, I think, like 25 or so. It was freelance work that turned into her full-time gig. And my dad just started helping her when things got busier. So he runs the business side of things. He's the CFO, CEO, and then she's the creative side. So
amazing.
It is interesting. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. So who knows? Venture-backed businesses, maybe that's a little trickier, but it sounds like it worked for them, which is incredible. Amanda, let's shift for a minute. I'm so curious about the product for Dormify. So I feel like, you know, we've really cut our teeth on apparel. Like, we're excited to expand that product over time, but I'm really intrigued that you were able to just outfit a dorm room in what felt like such a fast amount of time, that you suddenly had like a multitude of offerings. Of course, like, I didn't know you from the moment that you launched. So talk to me a little bit about like that evolution of product. What did you start with? How quickly were you able to scale? Because it seems very comprehensive now. How fast did it become comprehensive?
Yeah. So the first product line that we started with was actually posters that we were able to print on demand so that we could get something into the market that didn't require any inventory. And we created like a alphabet series. So we had a poster for every letter of the alphabet. They were really amazing pieces of art, like all done by great graphic designers, available in all different colors, and people could make their school initials or their initials. And that's how we got started. But at the same time, we were, like I said, manufacturing bedding products overseas because the comforters and top of bed options that were in the market at the time just really weren't the right level of style for a college student. They were very childish and like a bed in a bag solution. So it didn't really lend itself to any sort of personality or originality. And we knew that we had to create the product ourselves. However, when we did launch our full back to school line, it was really important that alongside the bedding, we were able to offer a one-stop shop for all things that you need for a dorm room. So at the beginning, we manufactured sheets and duvet covers. And then we complemented what we were designing ourselves with accessories from other brands that we were buying third party. So over the years, we've essentially taken those two categories that were under the Dormify brand and completely expanded that to include all of our core categories today, which are bedding, wall, lighting, bath, storage, wall decor, lots of things. So really what's gone on and the process of this transition has been, once we create demand in a certain category, or we see that there's enough demand to move something into our own private label, we do that. So we have continued to have that one-stop shop, but over the years, let me think of a good example. We didn't always have our own brand of towels, but as soon as we said, okay, we can handle the minimums or the quantities required to order to create our own colors and our own quality level, we can do that. And at this point now in 2020, every single product on our site that is essential for a dorm room, we have under our own brand. And then we just fill in some of the holes with things that we buy from other vendors that are more like small tchotchkes and accessories. Or if we want to test something, we can buy them in small quantities. So long story short, it's been a bit of a iterative process, but we've thankfully been able to create really great relationships with our vendors where we'll buy something off of their line. And when it's time for us to create something under our own brand, we work with that same partner most of the time, which is great.
And tell me a little bit about this event-driven commerce. When do you feel like, when does Dormify enter the vocabulary for somebody that's going to college? Like, for you, what's your sweet spot in terms of getting to them as they're graduating from high school, so they're outfitting their first dorm room? Is it getting to them earlier than that, so they're using it while they're still in high school in their room at home? Or like, what age do you really target to go after customers so that when do you want yourself to be introduced?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's been changing a bit, and organically there's been discovery at all different ages, but our core age group is really the 17 and 18 year old student who's getting ready to go to their freshman year of college. So we're starting to hit that group in the December time period of their high school or senior and high school year. And that's around the time that early acceptances start rolling in. So as soon as like these students are getting validation or acceptances from at least one university, that's kind of the trigger point that they'll start thinking about what their future dorm room will look like. So we start with a big giveaway that we do around some of these acceptance times, and students enter to win a big gift card to their future dorm room. But it's really around May that we launch our product assortment. So every year around May 1st, we launch a brand new line of products that will last throughout the entire summer. That's our key shopping season. And what's really exciting about where we are today is that, like I said, organically, a lot of other audience segments are discovering Dormify from their older or younger sisters, from their friends, from whoever. And there are a lot of teens that are shopping for their bedrooms at home and decorating their first like grown-up room from their little girl room. And we see that opportunity continuing to grow. So while right now we're focused on acquiring the customer in that high school senior year, there's definitely going to be more marketing towards this teen girl who might be going to sleepaway camp, might be redecorating her bedroom, even going to boarding school. We see that growing tremendously. And then the goal really is to acquire the customer during that teen time period or maybe during their high school senior year, and then growing with them through college, making sure that they know that Dormify is the destination for them to outfit any small space that they're living in, from a sorority house to an off-campus apartment, and then their first home once they've graduated. So we really see ourselves as that destination for home decor for households to frequent in many different times of their life.
And how has your ambassador program played a role in your acquisition? My understanding is that you have like a really spectacular ambassador program. Tell us a little bit more about the role that that plays in acquiring customers.
Yes. So our ambassador program has been a part of the brand since pre-launch. That was how we actually, that's how we marketed the launch of the company. I had friends of mine join this group that we called Style Advisors, and we pretty organically grew that community into a network of strangers that I did not know most of them. And they were contributing to our blog, and they were really our eyes and ears on campus when we were getting ready to launch. Today, we have evolved the program a few different times, and it continues to evolve because we started this company when brand ambassador programs weren't nearly quite a thing as they are now. And there's always new things that we're learning from the ambassadors themselves in terms of what incentives and what value they get from the program. In 2019, we focused the program around referral. So refer a friend to Dormify. You can share as an ambassador a specific link that your friends can use to make a purchase from. Your friend gets a 20% discount and the ambassador gets $20 towards Dormify. So that was a pretty successful initiative, but because of that, we didn't want to limit it to just the ambassadors, and we're offering it on site to any visitor because we really see all of our site visitors and customers as true like influencers and tastemakers in their own right. So we've lifted that out of the program, and we're working on what 2020 is going to look like, but we've really seen such a demand from the customers and young girls themselves to be a part of this program. So one of the things that we're doing right now is hearing it out a bit. So we're going to have a group of content creators that we can speak to on a yearly basis and send them products, get great video content, great assets for all different marketing channels. And it's a way to involve the girls in our day-to-day and give them a little bit of a behind the scenes into what we're doing. And what we've learned from them most is that this generation, this high school and college generation right now, more than free products and perks and discounts, they are interested in access and being connected to our team and our brand in a big way and having something that they can put on their resume. They want to stand out. They want a network that they can tap into and a community that they can lean on when they're looking for their first internship in college, or they're looking for their first job to start their career with. And we've heard from them how important it is to have those kinds of experiences and that network in order to kind of get them started in the next stage of their life. So we're going to be focusing a little bit more on how to integrate this group into our team in a bigger way and also make it a mutually beneficial program that allows the girls to gain something truly valuable out of it. So it's been really fun. And I think the other big part of this community is their feedback that they give constantly on our product design and our development, that we can speak directly to this audience and hear what they want, what they need, what trends that they're seeing on Instagram with their friends. And we learn from them at all times. So they're really a built-in focus group in that sense.
So fun to think about, Amanda. I think one of the key takeaways and for people that are listening is like really everything is so much about an evolution. As I hear you talk about things, you know, you start off doing one thing and you test things and then you evolve. So I think it's inspiring to hear your story. And for people that are thinking about starting their own business, you know, you don't have to make long-term decisions necessarily at the beginning, but if you're thinking about starting something, it's just about getting out there and doing something and then seeing how it's received and sort of iterating from there. Because as you know, and I'm sure you'll attest to, we certainly never don't have all the answers now, nor did we have all the answers when we launched. And as you're talking about, you know, your product assortment, your ambassador program, everything is an evolution and you've evolved as your customer has evolved with you.
So true. So true. Yeah.
What are the things, is there anything, Amanda, that you started in the early days that you tried that didn't evolve, or you were like, you know what, that just didn't really work and we kind of left it at the wayside? I know there's been plenty that we've done that where that's been the case.
Yeah, there's some things that we've tried and left behind. There's some things that we've tried and then built upon as we try to scale the success from those initiatives. So two that come to mind are, one, we in the early days wanted to create categories that would bring the customer back for another reason besides decorating their first dorm room. So our answer to that was sorority gear. And we knew that at the time, a lot of our customers were also joining sororities and participating in Greek life. So we created apparel, we created decor, we created accessories that were really cute, but we learned that the price point that we were able to achieve at the time was just too high for what this audience was willing to pay for these products. And a lot of the products that they were actually getting for sorority stuff was more customized. So because of the pain points with licensing and inventory and sizing, we dropped the sorority stuff and we now focus on custom pillows and things like that if anyone wants any sort of sorority decor. But that was a great learning opportunity because it seemed like such a great way to incentivize retention of our customers. But at the time, it was a little too far out of our focus for us to really put a lot of effort into it. So we've now in 2020 are thinking about something in the same way. How can we bring customers back onto the site after they've designed their room? And we're actually launching, spoiler alert, we're launching care packages in the fall that parents can send their kids right before a big exam or on their birthday or just if they miss someone. And we're really excited to be able to offer this hyper curated care package that's branded and, you know, an Instagrammable moment, and it'll be super cute, kind of like Fab Fit Fun like, but it's learning from one thing and we feel a lot more confident in the legs of this initiative.
That's one. So cute.
Yeah. The other thing that I was going to mention that I imagine that you're going to ask a couple of questions on is our pop-up strategy. So something that we did in the early days when we had very little marketing budget was we did trunk shows in people's homes to really just set up a shopping party. And the host of the party would invite 30 of their friends over with their parents. We'd bring a car full of product to their home and we would sit one-on-one with each of the students and help them design their room. That obviously was not scalable because myself and my other founding team members were driving all around the tri-state area to visit all of these people's homes. And we knew that it was successful in the way that, like, the marketing end of this, where one host invited all their friends, but then also being able to sit down with someone and walk them through the design process, we learned was very valuable. So in order to scale that, we set up a showroom in our office. We invited people to us so that we could get rid of the whole pack up a car and drive around aspect of it. And once that proved its success, we said, let's open stores. And this was 2 years ago, we started opening pop-up shops. And we've really nailed a model at this point where we can really effectively set up a 3 or 4 month pop-up. We hire college-aged girls to work in the pop-up as stylists. There's a really great connection between the customer and the student to get peer-driven styling advice and just all-around tips on college, like where to do your laundry, what to expect on day one, sorority rush, things like that. So we've really taken that early grassroots sort of approach and turned it into a huge part of our growth strategy.
That's so fun. I love all the different things that you're doing and the ways that you're, the unique ways in which you're reaching your customer. Cause I do think that's the future, is figuring out how to uniquely reach your customer in a way that maybe other people aren't doing. And the story, that was going to be my question in terms of what was next. So the care package component is brilliant and exciting. And I'm sure parents are really going to appreciate that too. Cause I haven't certainly been at the stage of that game or anything like that, but I imagine that anything that would be easier to send your child a care package would be warmly welcomed by parents around the country without question.
Yeah, we're excited.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for joining me today. I feel like getting to know you personally behind the scenes, and you know, thank you for being someone that's like shared some of your day-to-day with me. And likewise, I've enjoyed being able to share some of mine with you. But I think there's a lot that people can learn from you. And I think that your story is inspirational and unique in the way in which you grew your business. So I really appreciate you being on today and sharing your story with our listeners.
Of course. Thank you. And same goes to you. You've been such a great friend and advisor behind the scenes, and been very fun.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. For more information and tips from our guests, stop by monicaandandy.com or check us out on Instagram at Monica and Andy. If there's someone you want to hear from or a topic you'd like us to cover, please leave us a comment on iTunes. Thanks for tuning in.